Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings right here on MSG Plus and Sirius XM Channel 204 on the radio side. So glad you could stick with us tonight. Bucks and Rams, 7-7 here in the second quarter. What is the in-game at this moment, sir?
At the in-game, we are sitting on, off the board, so something is going on.
We have a third down play coming up for the Bucks.
Oh, is there
here.
A challenge? Oh, no, it's just a third down.
Just third down coming up. It's Gil Alexander, it's Matt Brown, it's Kelly Bidlin. Danielle Alvari not with us tonight, but will join us here in the coming days. 10 minutes left in the second quarter. Brady got a man, and that's a first down. Cameron Brate, as they give him the mark, and I think that one this time is a correct mark, as they move the chains again, 9:55 and ticking now left in the second quarter. Tie ball game, if you're just joining us, we have pre-flop bets, Matt and I do, on the Buccaneers at -4. Matt also has a pre-flop bet on the under. Kelly and I have gone in-game here. I took the Bucks at plus money line when they were down 7-0. Yours was?
Yeah, I have under 47 live, and then I have Bucks money line to close out a parlay.
Okay, that's right. You have that. Brady, that's right. You have close out a parlay on the preflop. Brady looks to Mike Evans long, throws it out of bounds, Jalen Ramsey talking. That's my summation of that play right there.
The Bucks are 4-point live favorites, 47.5 on the total. So exactly where we went off.
Everything very deliberate about this game, though, on the Rams side. By the way, we just got a tweet from Man Bear Puig is his handle on Twitter, and he just mentioned about that last three and out for the Rams. Only the third time I've ever seen that. Three completed passes, no penalties, and no first down. So Jared Goff went 3-for-3 on a three and out. I think that's more common than he's indicating.
Man Bear Puig. That's a great Twitter handle right there. If you're a guy is clearly
South Park fan.
South Park and Yasiel Puig fan, which I love the combination of. Fantastic.
We just respected from that alone.
So some odds that I thought seemed a little bit longer, I guess, than I would have thought. Robert Woods, of course, scored the first touchdown of the game. Guys, that cash is at 15-1.
Nice.
Over at DraftKings. I thought he'd have been a little bit shorter than that, but 15-1, and then Mike Evans on his touchdown and anytime score for him actually paid off at +120.
Oh, they got a flag again. Brady on a third down pass, intended, I believe that was Scotty Miller across the middle, and they get the flag. Fuller is flagged for the Rams, and this is one of these also where it's like they probably could have kept that in their pocket, but Jordan Fuller gets the yellow flag. Now watch this pass. It was third and long, call it 3rd and 8 from the Rams 45. Brady threw it over the middle. I think that's Scotty Miller.
And, oh yeah, he's hit way.
Oh early. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Never mind. That's legit. Here is the pass, and yeah. Well, it's not, I mean, I've seen worse. I've seen worse called than that, obviously. I've seen that kept in the pocket, too. This is one of those, that's one of those plays where if you're a fan of a lesser NFL team, like I am of Washington, let's say I grew up on Washington, or if you're a Jets fan, if you're a Giants fan, you look at a play like that and you say to yourself, we never get calls like that. But Scotty Miller,
but he was actually knocked to the ground.
He got there a beat early.
Yeah,
he did get there a beat early. I'm not going to say that was the same as the first.
That moves it to 6.5.
Yeah, because now they're in field goal range already. Are the Bucks, and so you would think that barring a turnover, they'll get a pretty good field goal attempt at a minimum. Of course, the Bucks thinking more than that. What is the number right now?
6.5
total.
48.5.
Total's back to 48.5. What was the pre-flop total?
It went off at 47.5.
Yeah.
But had been fluctuating between 48 and 48.5 most of the day. But yeah, a lot of people betting the under in this thing.
A lot of people betting the under. Pretty good football game so far.
It really has been. I mean, I know the scoreboard hadn't been lit up or anything, but, you know, we're seeing some good defense. We're seeing some good play calling. We're seeing these kind of guys going, trying to match wits in this thing. I mean, even though there's only 14 points to right now, it's been a very entertaining game for sure.
Very entertaining. And what did you say after the Rams first drive? You made a comment that's pretty prescient at this point where you're like, hey, they really have good first drives. And then
a three and out. So yeah, that's good. And I like that these drives are taking some time as well.
Keep in mind a couple Rams stats. I mentioned one earlier. I did not the other. The one that I mentioned, the Rams defense in second halves, 8 of 9 second halves this year, the Rams defense has given up more than 3 points just once to the Buffalo Bills. Even the Bears, when they scored a touchdown, did so on defense, not against the Rams defense. The other one is when the Rams lead at the half under Sean McVay, They're 31-0. 31-0. Skill Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. This is VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings right here on MSG Plus and on SiriusXM Channel 204. The issue with that second stat, though, is you got to get to the lead by halftime. Yeah. And right now, tie ball game. It is the Bucks knocking at the door as they're showing the Mike Evans touchdown replay and how he just drags two defenders into the end zone. What was the percentage on that?
3.7% chance of him scoring on that after the catch. And if you're in your car right now and you're not watching, by all means, catch this replay.
Yes.
That's a man play right there.
By the way, I said that it was Darius Williams who Evans dragged into the end zone. Williams was sort of around, but it was really Troy Hill who he dragged in the end zone. And now the Bucks with a first and 10 just on the cusp of the red zone, first and 10 at the 20 with 8:46 left in the second quarter. Brady under center, play action, throws it over the top. Complete.
That's going to be offensive pass interference.
Mike Evans, but Jalen Ramsey signaling that that's going to be on Mike Evans. Mike Evans appearing nonplussed. We'll see which way they call it. Because Mike Evans is like, nope, that's on you, dude. And in fact, it is on Jalen Ramsey.
Oh.
Or perhaps it's on Hill again. Ramsey is incredulous, but that's no surprise. And it's first and goal now for the Bucks. And let's see the replay on that, if in fact it was warranted. And, I'm not sure they needed to throw it, but yes, if there was a flag, it was on Ramsey.
Wow, if they're going to call that, though, we're going to see a lot of flags in this game.
But he caught it anyway, so yeah. I guess it doesn't really matter, but okay. If you thought the first one was weak,
that one didn't matter.
Was weak.
That one didn't matter, though. First and goal, that's got to be Fournette, and that's got to be a touchdown. Yes, over the plane, touchdown Buccaneers, and that is Leonard Fournette from the two, and Jalen Ramsey still jawing, can't believe it, but doesn't matter, he caught the ball, Jalen. 13-7 Bucks. Jalen felt like he was interfered with, which absolutely didn't happen.
It was hand fighting.
Yeah.
That's a physical wide receiver.
I don't think either one interfered with the other one, right?
Arguably the most physical wide receiver in the game and the most physical cornerback in the league. Like, this is, if we're going to throw a flag on this every time, we're going to be sitting here for a long night in football.
If I could post odds right now on a fight breaking out at some point in this game between those two, what would the yes be?
Oh, man. I mean, I think we're already at -150 probably.
Yeah. we're higher than that. The extra point, by the way, is good, and it's 14-7 Bucks. And just like that, I love when people say that in sports broadcasting. Just like that, a seven to nothing deficit is now a 14-7 Bucks lead with 8:35 left in the second quarter.
I'll go even more specific, Gil. Like, a Jalen Ramsey on sportsmanlike conduct is like even money. Like, that's like we are well on our way. When he's been that surprised that many times already in this game?
He's not happy.
NFL quarterbacks are more shocked than anybody in the world. You know, it's like, what do you mean that's a flag?
What's the end game now?
This thing has gone all the way. It was started at 7.5, quickly moved to 7, now down to 6.5, but it's hugely juiced at 121 at 6.5, so probably going back to 7. So people are betting this one a lot, this number, at this point in the game. The total is at 52.
Yeah. Well, listen, they keep throwing flags. They're going to score 6.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
I mean, seriously, if that's the benchmark for throwing flags, you're going to have way more than 52 points.
I think we all just saw in that drive and what we've seen in this game so far, I think that's the one thing I would keep me away from going back in on the under.
Yeah.
And if we rewind, you know, what was it, 30 minutes at this point, even less than that, Gil's in-game bet, much wiser than mine.
Well, Kelly, one of the
under
things
and you took the Bucks.
Well, Kelly, one of the things that you pointed out, and I think is true here. I mean, so if they're going to call that, if you're Brady, Tom Brady's one of the smartest guys there is.
Oh yeah,
he's going to keep throwing to Mike Evans,
of course,
despite the fact that Jalen Ramsey's on him. Because if you're going to get those type of calls, why not? Why would you not?
I'm going to say it one last time because I don't want to beat the horse. I don't want to beat the dead horse. Is that the correct expression, by the way, Kelly? Beat the dead horse.
Yeah.
That initial one to Jalen Ramsey was a third down play. It was the Bucs' second drive. They were down 7-0 already. This was right after the Rams' touchdown drive. It was third down again for the Bucs. And Mike Evans appeared to run right at Jalen Ramsey, who just sort of instinctively put his hands up, and Evans went right through him. They threw a flag on what was an incomplete pass. Now, again, you say they call that on everything. I don't, and again, I'm the one with the Bucks ticket, so it really helped me out. That, to me, was the biggest play of this game. And right now, Tom Brady, instead of the Bucks having to punt it away down 7-0, they use that to matriculate down the field to tie it up. And now, after a 3-and-out for the Rams, a couple other flags, the second one didn't matter because it was caught anyway, but Jalen Ramsey feels like he was interfered with. I would disagree. It's 14-7 Bucks. Jared Goff, 10 of 11 for 72 yards and a touchdown. Brady, 12 of 18 for 95 and a touchdown.
Yeah, it, you know, I think, but don't get me wrong, I think both of them are bad. It's just that first one, anytime there's a tug, they've been calling the tug all year long. Like, that thing has been, like, if they can see the jersey get, if they can see the jersey move
did
at
we,
all.
Did we see the jersey, though? I don't know
like,
if we did.
It is, like, been called all year long. That hand-fighting one, though, is, like, insanity. Like, that was neither one of those. I mean, I know Ramsey feels like he was interfered with. Evans feels like he was interfered with. They ran into each other. There was a little bit of hand fighting. He completed the route. It didn't even knock him off his route or anything, and he caught the ball.
I guess what I'm saying is, in both cases, the flag could have been eaten.
Yeah.
And we the point of this is, when we do an autopsy on this game tomorrow, no one is going to seize on that first flag against Rams.
No one's
going to remember it. And I'm just saying, there's so many football games we watch that turn on something like that. And there's no way I can prove to you that it would have been different, but it could have been wildly different. Again, this is benefiting my bets. So just out of honesty here.
It also feels like when you're watching NFL games these days, especially with pass interference, and it's not, you know, not challengeable anymore or anything like that, it does feel like it's a NBA game, or you're a pitcher with a strike zone, where it looks like they're getting a lot of times on those calls a feel for how they're going to call it the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And after we've now seen flags on one, I would say one iffy one, and then one ridiculous one. I mean, again, this could be a long game.
Matt, what do they say about if it ain't broke?
Matt and I are laughing because after taking a drive off, after five catches on the previous drive, Goff goes to Cooper Kupp for his sixth catch of the day.
If it ain't broke, don't fit. Six for 70 already for Kupp.
It's second and short, and that's not going to go anywhere. Lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage. No, lost a yard on a handoff. Devin White from...
Is that Cam Akers? So they're giving Cam Akers carries before they gave Malcolm Brown carries.
Devin White on the tackle for the Bucks. So now it's third and three after a second and two. All of a sudden, it's third and three. Was that Cam Akers? I believe it was.
Yeah.
The LSU didn't get shouted out, but Cam Akers from Florida State.
I'm just curious as to the strategy here, right? I mean, no consistency, right? Cam Akers hadn't been getting like carries really very.
It's been a few weeks.
Can you triple team Cooper Kupp? Would that be okay here? Because that's exactly where this is going.
Yeah.
By the way, this from ESPN Stats and Info. Cooper Kupp had 5 receptions on the opening drive. That matches the most receptions on a drive by a Ram over the last 20 seasons, with the last being Lance Kendricks in 2013.
Robert Woods on the catch. Nice toss from Jared Goff. Put it right where he needed to, and that's a first down for the Rams. Right across midfield, big third down conversion. Because if they don't get that there, it could get ugly fast. Instead, Rams quick tempo. That's big. That's Bigby right there, and that's a nice first down pickup.
I think
for
tempo's a good
the
call.
Rams tempo here.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. Also, interesting. It was Kelly's thing that you always talk about is we talk about here on the show is the Insta first down, as long as you're within. Well, of course, Cooper Kupp. This is unbelievable.
Higby on first down, Kupp on second.
This is unbelievable. Tight ends and Kupp. I mean, it's.
Kupp with a reverse spin move. The defender never thinks you're going to do it this way into the field. And Kupp matriculates it inside the red zone. And just like that, it's first and 10 for the Rams at the Bucks 18 on the nice yak from Kupp, who now has how many catches? 7?
He has 7 for 94.
I missed my Cooper Kupp play by 2. I called it 2 plays earlier. Rams now with their rotating running backs. Ooh, little short pass is incomplete to Kupp, but count another target. By the way, Malcolm Brown in the backfield there for the Rams on that.
That 19-yard pass to Robert Woods was the, we see, you know, I mean, it happens all the time again, so I understand it doesn't get called, but a full second off of the play clock is expired, and yet the snap, and they run the play.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that was the, and you see those go, because sometimes I think defenders see the clock go to zero, and there's that like split second of freezing going on. And like those plays work so often.
Points are happening way too fast for you guys right now.
Yeah.
Not fun if you have the under. Second and 10 after the incomplete pass to Cup. Play clock down to zero. Cup again.
This is unbelievable.
Cooper Kupp with his eighth catch of the day.
That's and the 100-yard mark.
And we got more than 5 minutes left in the second quarter, but it will set up a third and I want to say four on that with 5:30 left in the second quarter. He has eight catches.
Eight? Nine targets.
For 100.
Sean McVay over there looking like he's barking out genius orders. It's like, no, just keep giving it to 10.
I was joking about triple teaming him, but where else is the ball going? Third and four here for the Rams. So this obviously... Boy, can the Bucs get them off the field here and force a field goal? Third and four at the Bucs 12, 5 minutes left in the second quarter. This time, Goff under center, and they did it again.
They did it again.
Wow.
There wasn't movement? That was just jumping? Yeah. Neutral zone infraction, complete offsides by the Bucs, and that is a free first down on a third and four. Second time the Bucs have done that. This time it was Shaquille Barrett. And Bruce Arians is saying what I thought I saw too. Oh no, I'm completely wrong.
McVay's
so
trying
Arians.
To call time out on the other side of the field. That is crazy.
Bennett completely jumped off sides. Yeah. There was no movement whatsoever. No.
That was
yeah. Awful. And it's a first and goal for the Rams because of that. The second time the Bucs have jumped off sides to give a Rams a first and goal. As a donation.
Yeah, this is crazy town.
15 for 17 for Goff for 144. Eight of those completions.
And 100 of those yards.
God bless. And here's Goff now. First and goal at the 7 for the Rams after Barrett jumped off sides. Shotgun. Goff over the middle. Touchdown. Touchdown, Rams.
Van Jefferson.
That was way too easy. Way too easy for Van Jefferson, star of HBO's Hard Knocks this offseason. The least watched Hard Knocks in the history of HBO's franchise during
COVID. I didn't watch it.
Yeah. But Van Jefferson, they tried to make something of him, and, well, they picked a good guy to focus on. Van Jefferson in the end zone, 14-13. They're going to take a look at this as all scoring plays are. Nope, he's over.
No, he's in.
He's in.
He's in for sure.
Extra point pending.
Tempo was a good choice. Yeah, not allowing them to substitute, making them stay out. When they saw that basically this over-the-middle stuff was continuing to work, they were like, let's go tempo where they can't substitute, they can't make any changes on this drive, and they just march the ball right down the field, keeping doing that over-the-middle stuff. And I mean, we were saying, like, listen, the outside corners for the Bucs are awesome, but the slot corner play has been very, very poor for them. I knew that could be something they might go after. I did not think 9 targets, 8 catches, 100 yards to Cup, another 2 catches for the tight ends, and then the little Van Jefferson slot over the out of the slant over the out of the slot right there as well. So,
you know, the one thing we didn't mention in the whole run up to this game, because it's largely irrelevant when you talk about something from a previous year, but these two teams did play last year. Do you remember what the final score was in September of last year? Bucks 55, Rams 40.
Sounds about right.
So
that was like every Jameis
game. Yeah, Jameis had four that was like touchdowns every Jameis game and 5 interceptions.
That was the game where they scored 38 points combined in the second quarter and 44 combined in the fourth. 55-40, Bucks win. You know what? When you get older, you know what happens to your brain? I can tell you the kid I sat next to in grade school. I can tell you his name. I can tell you where he lived. How come I don't remember this game?
I don't either, Gil. I can't remember who I'm yelling about on a intentional grounding foul from yesterday.
Right. But it's interesting because I remember the Rams-Chiefs game where all those points were scored. Yeah. And the next day we were all like, this could change football forever. I have no recollection of the Bucs 55-40 win over the Rams last year.
Most of the Jameis games just kind of like went away for me last year because they were so comical. I just didn't really even... pay all that attention. I never would bet a Jameis game ever.
By the way, Jameis in that game had 4 touchdowns for one pick, and he had a 90.1 QBR. He was great. Goff had a 36.1 QBR.
Whoa.
So
I'm with you. I don't remember that game.
That might have been the finest game of Jameis's career. 385 yards through the air. Again, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. But again, the reason we don't bring it up before the game is because it's a different year and it's a different quarterback, for goodness sakes, from Jameis Winston to Tom Brady. And we had pregame leans, at least the rest of us here did on set, Matt and Kelly for, or Matt did for, pardon me, for unders in this. And so far, the under is a big long shot at this point. What's the end game now?
It's still off the board for some reason. I don't know.
Looked like 57, 56 and a half is what I'm seeing consensus-wise around town here in Vegas.
Yeah, let me it check elsewhere.
Like, it looks like it's going to pop up at 56.
14 to 14. Still 431 left in the first half. The Bucks are about a minus -3 consensus favorite right now with the total at 56 and a half. 14 to 14 here, and the Bucks will get the ball back. As the Rams kick it off here in the closing seconds before we have to take a break, we'll come back a little later this hour. We'll check out some NBA odds, I suppose, as well when we take a break in this game. But until then, nothing but football here with 4:31 left in the second quarter. Good game. Again, the Bucks trying to keep pace with the Saints in the NFC South. A win would have them a half game behind the Saints in the AFC South. The Rams, with a win, would keep pace with the Seahawks, would tie the Seahawks atop the NFC West. If they lose, the Seahawks would have the lead all by themselves with a one-game lead over both the Rams and the Cardinals. Coming back right here on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a deposit bonus up to
$1,000.
It is easy. Sign up with promo code VSIN to claim your exclusive offer. Plus, if you think you qualify to join the DraftKings VIP program, enjoy exclusive benefits, promotional offers, top-tier customer support, and personalized contests, visit DraftKings.com/VSIN to learn more. Got to be 21. New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And once again, I don't want to gloss over, but it's $1,000. That is not a negligible amount of money.
4,000 quarters.
It's 4,000 quarters. It's 2,000 of those half dollar things that I'm not sure exist anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know where you get that. I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll start passing those out to people.
It's 500 $2 bill.
I got one of those in change last week. I
was going to really?
Say, yeah.
You hold on to it, say, keep it away.
Yeah. Tucked into my desk.
Yeah.
So, Gil, we're sitting here at the 2-minute warning, 14 to 14. It does make me wonder, because we know the Rams are getting the ball back at the start of the second half, if the Bucks aren't going to try and make sure that the Rams do not get the ball back this half.
Ideally, that would be the case.
So we might, if we're looking at how this line kind of plays out, it wouldn't surprise me if they're pretty conservative here for this next little bit.
In game is minus -3.5 on the Bucks, 54.5 on the total. You brought up a good point off air, though. We've seen nothing but Cooper Kupp for the Rams. And what are the Bucks doing now?
They're doing their own. They're doing basically sitting here, their version of Cooper Kupp. We're seeing Antonio Brown four straight plays now. And again, just kind of dink and dunking over the middle. And listen, if these two teams are going to be super hyper aggressive, which they are in trying to get pressure on the quarterbacks, that's how you get them to quit being so aggressive. Yep. Is you just sit there and dink and dunk them down the field. And both seem to be willing to go that route. And like, again, these Bucks right here probably are trying to get this to where they have the last go at it here in the first half.
First and 10 at their own 48. Brady in shotgun takes the snap, and he heaves it downfield. He has no interest. Oh, and it's good defensive play by Mike Evans. Looked like it could have been a pick, but Mike Evans, Johnny on the spot, breaks it up. And so it's going to be a second and 10. Really right in the hands.
Yeah, this is where you make some joke about the defensive back not playing wide receiver, right? This is why he doesn't play wide receiver, yeah.
Our friends at PFF will label that a turnover-worthy play.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Ross Cockrell on the would-be interception. Oh, it hit him right in the chest.
Get it together, Ross. Come on.
Yeah, right through his hands. Second and 10 from their own 48. 1:53 left in the second quarter for the Bucks. Brady, quick pass outside to Godwin. And that doesn't go very far. That goes for a yard. So it's going to be 3rd and 9 now at their own 49. That didn't work out too well.
The Rams are not taking a timeout.
They are not. This is kind of that area where neither team knows what to do. Rams don't want to give them more, give them more time if they do convert. Bucks don't know if they're going to convert or going to run out the whole play clock here. And so it's a stalemate in terms of the timeouts. Rams have 2 at their disposal. Bucks with the full allotment with 1:20 in the clock ticking. So plenty of time either way, but especially if the Bucks convert here. Brady and shotgun once again. Surveying right over the top. And that got through. No, it did not. Man. Incomplete. Intended for Godwin, and he did not come up with it. So with 1:07 left in the half, the Bucks are going to punt away.
Second ball that's completely disappeared on the television broadcast, though.
What has?
That was another one where the ball just disappeared. Yeah. Didn't know
it's happened
it was.
A couple times in this game.
So the old 2-for-1 opportunity here for the Rams.
Yeah, they got 2 timeouts, but they'll, you know, depending on where they get the ball here, the Bucks are going to try to pin them deep. And this will become one of those situations where if it's 1st and 10 from too far deep in their own territory, you wonder if they'll even make an attempt, knowing that they get the ball back first in the second half. Pinion punts it away. Let's see where this ends up. Catch at the 18. So that's where the Rams will start it with exactly 60 seconds left on the clock, 2 timeouts. They may make a run here, try to get
the field
goal.
Yeah, it was too short of a punt. I mean, he didn't try. He was trying to make sure to not kick it in the end zone, and what he ended up doing was giving them the ball exactly where they would have got it anyway had he kicked it in the end zone.
Yeah. So Sean McVay, you would think here, will try to, at the very least, get the Rams in field goal range again with 2 timeouts. That is definitely a possibility. Goff, 16 of 18 for 151. As you said, 8 of those catches and 100 of those yards to Cup specifically.
And only 6 carries for the Rams. They have abandoned that running game.
Yeah.
They know it's working.
Well, Bucks with the number 1 defense in the NFL, according to DVOA at Football Outsiders. We'll have to go to break. We'll pick it up wherever we can during this drive. Rams with the ball, tie game, 14 apiece, 1 minute left in the half, right here at VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings, not only on MSG Plus, but on SiriusXM Channel 204 as well. Coming back. Hoops Betting Guide is out today, and now's the perfect time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get this massive, in-depth guide to all the teams, conferences, and impact players for this unique college basketball season. Predictions, insights, stats, research from all our VSiN basketball experts, and you'll want to dive in before the first games tip off this week on Wednesday. It's the Hoops Betting Guide, plus everything VSiN has to offer every day of the basketball season and all year round at a 25% savings right now. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. 19 seconds left in the half, and there's a little hitch pattern to Woods, who makes a lot of it. Woods all the way to the red zone, and the Rams now with no timeouts are going to have to run up to the ball and spike it 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and they do with 1 second left on the clock. Wow. What looked to be a final drive that was marred by strange timeout usage with the remaining 2 timeouts and a drive that was going nowhere. Woods catches it underneath and runs upfield untouched all the way to the 20. So now the Rams are going to have a 37-yard field goal attempt. Here's the deal with the Rams kicking, though. Sam Sloman was cut. And then after Sam Sloman, Kai Forbath injured his ankle last week or 2 weeks ago. Matt Gay is their kicker right now to attempt a 38-yarder. So this is no sure thing. It is up and it is good. Gets inside the right upright. And the Rams do get the 2-for-1. At least the first part of the 2-for-1, and they go up at the half 17-14 on a big play from Robert Woods after the catch on a drive that looked like it was going nowhere and was probably going to result most times in a Hail Mary attempt. Not the case. Matt Gay field goal, his first field goal with the Rams, 17-14.
Would Jared Goff, 21 of 25 for 212 yards. How many passes has he completed over 20 yards?
In the air, you mean?
Yeah.
In the air?
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. How many has he attempted?
One.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
Zero. He has only attempted three further than 10 yards down the field. It has just been dink and dunk down the field the entire way. But zero, like zero to line of scrimmage, he is 4 of 5. And then in the line of scrimmage to 10 yards, he is 14 of 15.
It was a, I think it was a clinical first half by McVay and Goff. But Robert Woods, I think, helped bail them out there on a drive that was very confusing with what they were doing with the clock and the ball. And somehow they were able to escape with a field goal.
That was a huge play. Obviously, that's a 3-point play right there. And again, with the kicking situation, no Sloman, who was cut, Forbath hurting himself last week. Matt Gay, who won a little bit of a field goal kicking competition this week, they just settled on him as their kicker today. Kicks it through the upright, 17-14 Rams. What is our in-game or our second half line here?
Let's pop up. We are looking at the Rams as 2-point favorites, and our halftime line is Bucks 2.5.
Yeah. Okay. And that obviously, again, the difference with that is in the event of overtime, that kind of thing, just a little bit of a difference. But Rams, the slight favorites, and the total 54.5?
54.5, 23.5, your second half.
Are we surprised the total isn't higher than that? Based on the pre-flop number. We shouldn't be. They revert to the pre-flop number, so that makes some sense.
Yeah, and again, like there was... I think you also have to... I mean, I can only assume there will be some regression on the Rams side, but maybe not. I don't know. I mean, 21 of 25, not completing a single pass of 20 yards down the field in an entire half, getting, you know, 4 of 5 behind the line of scrimmage. That pass right there to Woods was behind the line of scrimmage, goes for 35 yards. And then 14 of 15 in line of scrimmage to 10 yards down the field. I mean, it has just been... What we were worried about was pressure, and this is credit to Sean McVay, and we were worried about pressure. If you're throwing 6-yard passes, you don't have to sit there and wait for your guys to get downfield, so you're not feeling any of the pressure.
But this is where, pardon me, Bucks defensive coordinator Todd Bowles earns his money.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do now
at
halftime? Because they're clearly doing one thing based on everything we've talked about. You got the number one defense in the NFL through the prism of DVOA. You see what they're doing. It's all short passes. It's barely a running game. They're not throwing the ball downfield. You got to adjust.
Yeah, I mean, 18 of the 21 completions are either behind the line of scrimmage or fewer than 10 yards down the field.
I think it's one of the more fascinating, actually, halftimes in the NFL this season as far as how the Bucs are going to adjust. Because, like Matt just said, I mean, this is... I think he's been all over the Rams basically this whole season. This was, you're going to struggle with this game with the Bucs defensive line. They're going to get pressure on you. They're going to shut down your running game probably. That's a big reason why we're all on the Bucs. But, what do? They haven't even tried to run the ball, really.
Yeah.
And they're doing the same kind of little small passes over and over and over again. So I'm with you, Gil. I mean, that's a Bowles, you're supposed to be one of the best around. This should be a relatively simple thing, I would think, to fix, but are you going to open up then other things for the Rams to do?
Todd Bowles, former Super Bowl champion with?
If they don't figure out...
Washington.
The Goff has been blitzed. So here's the problem. So they're blitzing 40% of the time right now.
Yeah.
They're not getting home.
The Bucs are blitzing 40% of the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're not getting home at all.
Because it's getting out of his hands so quick.
And so I think what you're probably going to see, the logical adjustment here would be, okay,
zone.
We've got it. Yeah, we can't keep blitzing right here. If they're just going to keep dinking and dunking down the field, then we can't keep blitzing as often. So, I think that probably that's at least the very first. I mean, Goff has not been sacked. They have not gotten home despite the fact they're blitzing nearly every other play. And so, Do you think the obvious adjustment here would be, hey, let's not blitz as often. Let's keep more guys out there because it's way harder to throw those little dinks over the middle if we have a linebacker standing out there than when the field's wide open.
Yeah, go shallow zones and only rush four. Mm-hmm. I'm actually surprised to hear that's how effective the Rams have been. That 40% of the time they're blitzing on, it didn't even look they're blitzing that because they're getting the ball out so quickly.
Yeah. And then DeSean McVay, let's say that is the adjustment, DeSean McVay adjusts to the adjustment.
Right.
So a bit of every football game is a chess game, but some coaches are, how can I put this, headier than others in terms of realizing the adjustments they need to make. Some of the greatest coaches in NFL history, I'm talking about you, Joe Gibbs, are the greatest halftime adjusters. That's what they made their hay on. The ability to take out your pregame game plan and have the humility to say, you know what? What I had planned, completely wrong. Here's what we're going to do now. And so we'll see if Todd Bowles, who is a disciple, by the way, of Joe Gibbs' teams in Washington, where he won the Super Bowl, we'll see if he can adjust properly. Bruce Arians, his coaching mentor, though, who he coaches under right now for the Bucs. Should be interesting. And will Sean McVay adjust to that adjustment? Chess game headed our way. We won't be here with you, though, sadly, for most of the second half. We will be with you after the break, though. Talk about those NBA odds. And the question, if Joe Burrow shouldn't have kept passing the ball all year, should Justin Herbert keep doing it? Coming back right here at VSiN, or I should say on MSG Plus, primetime action powered by VSiN.